No, it's now it's on. All right, good. And I really do appreciate the prayer because I'm used to speaking to like 10, 12, maybe 15 people. So I'm not used to speaking to such a large group. And, you know, I like to get really intimate with when I'm talking and sharing with people. So I'm going to try to do that with a large group. I don't know if it'll work. And as Wes said, I did pray about what do you want me to share with this precious body of people? And I know that you guys are, you know, gone through big changes. And I know, like, for myself, one time when I took over principaling a school, I took over for someone who was very, very popular and very, you know, just successful in everything. And the Lord showed me that it's like a car changing gears. And, you know, the gear that was before was a very wonderful gear and a very great gear. But that gear is now, there's a new gear that's needed to move on. And I was that new gear. And you guys are under new gears. So, you know, it's a good thing because change is something that the world is just, that's the way it works. And this is a precious, precious body of people. And God loves you and God wants to use you drastically and magnificently to reach this county. I really mean that. God has his hand on this church, and God wants to use this body of people to reach out to your neighbors, your coworkers, to the people that live close by and far away. Okay, today, my sermon, I don't know, do I turn it on, or do you turn it on, the notes? Okay, and how do I turn it on? Just press the button. Oh, I'm so surprised. Okay. All right. Okay, first successful thing. Today, I just want to talk about something really simple. You know, one of the things that God has done to me over these years is that I've had to present everything that's so deep and so wonderful and so majestic in a simple way. And I feel like I've grown so much because everything of God is so deep, but it also is so simple. And we can look at things two ways, you know, and I choose to look at things the simple way now. And so that's why today it's Psalm 29, and the title is simply Trust and Obey. And if you look at all of the people, you know, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you look at their lives, and you look, how did they change? How did they become these men of God, women of God? And I guarantee you, you will see in every one of them a time in their life when they had to trust and they had to obey. And that made a big difference in them. And they were able to minister God's life to others because they were able to do those simple things. So we're going to start off by reading Psalm 29. And I think we broke it up into two parts. Oh, I'm supposed to change this. Okay. I worked. All right. First, ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So from this psalm, I'm just going to take some simple thoughts. The first one, in verse 10, we are to ascribe to God the title King. If you ever go to a Jewish ceremony or a wedding, they often refer to God as King of the universe. You know, we living in modern times, we don't really understand so much the, you know, what it was to give respect to a king or to an emperor. You know, when we hear things like, off with his head. You know, if you show disrespect to an emperor or to a king, that could happen to you. God is the ultimate king. God is the King of the universe. There is no one more powerful than him. There is no one more glorious and majestic than him. We talked about it today in the songs that we sang and the things that were shared. God is just so powerful. And it's good to have that settled in your heart, how powerful he is and how good he is. Well, we are to acknowledge that he has unlimited control over creation. This psalm talks about, you know, thunder and the, being the voice of God and the lightning and the, you know, striking the trees and splitting them open. And it's just, have you ever been in a thunderstorm outside and you know, far away from things? It can be pretty scary. Or near a waterfall and hearing the water and just, you know, the sounds of those things, you know, is enough for us to know that we serve a mighty God. We are to admit that his magnificence is above all. Nothing compares with God. Not our troubles, not our worries, nothing. God is so high and lifted up and above all things. And it's his right to expect worship from us. This worship needs to be performed in holiness. A holiness comes from trusting in his goodness and then by believing and doing what he says. So how do we do all these things? You know, we come to church on Sunday and we smile and we look at each other and say good morning and sometimes it looks like everything is going so well. But you know, it is difficult at times to think of God as being, you know, all good and all in control and I'm just so blessed to be a Christian, you know, because life gets in the way. And life, we live in a fallen world. We face deep sorrow at times. Our death, others' deaths, the death of a spouse, the death of a child. We face loss of jobs, wealth, houses, friends, church splits, family problems, health problems, expectations and dreams that don't come true. The list could go on and on and on. And we face that. And just because we're Christians doesn't make us immune to that. God allows us to face all those same things. And one of the reasons is so that when we face them and are successful in facing them, we can help others. Well, life times can be an unbelievable struggle. So what can we do? How do we live this Christian life, especially in what Psalm 29 says for us to do? Well, I think that one of the keys for me is the verse 2. Let's see. It says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. So two things that I see from here, ascribing to God and worshiping God. And these are the things that we can do to be able to live a successful Christian life. What I'm sharing with you today is very simple, and yet it is very, very deep. If you will do these things, I guarantee you that your life will change, that you will grow, and that you will become precious instruments in God's hands. So the word ascribe. I think that the word ascribe has a lot of different meanings to it. It's what you believe about God. It's what you think about God. It's what you say to others and to yourself, the self-talk about God. All these things are associated with the word ascribe. So the first thing that we need to ascribe, that we need to think about God, that we need to admit about God, is that God, that we're not the center of our life, that God is. You know, we're taught in Western culture that we are the center of our life. We're taught about being independent and strong and successful and all of those things. And they're not bad in themselves, but you are not the center of your life. God is. I am not the center of my life. Believe me, God is. God is good. You know that movie that says, God is good? All the time. That is really a nice thing to say, and it's a good reminder that of that deep, deep truth. He forever demonstrates his goodness to us, even if nothing else ever goes our way. He forever demonstrates his goodness by his death on the cross for us and his creation of us. Those two things alone can get you through. But God will give you much, much more than that. He will give you much, much more. Even in your deepest pain and your deepest sorrow, God will be there. And he will demonstrate that he is good. His purpose for your life, is not to enable you to be the richest person in the world. He's not to enable you to be the most famous or the most joyful. His purpose for you in your life is to change you into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's something really hard to grasp, but it's true. The purpose of our lives on this planet is for us to be changed into God's image and to do his work. You hear God's voice. Okay, number four, we must remind ourselves of these things always, especially when things are not going as we want them to. We are to trust God by ascribing to him these things no matter what. And believe me, I know life is brutal. I've lost a lot of people in my life. One of the hardest was when my daughter died. I held her hand as she took her final breath. And I cried out to God, God, make this go away. I don't want this. You're powerful enough. You can change this. Lord, please, make this go away. Did God not love me? No, he loves me. But again, I'm not the center of my life. He is. And he never forsook me through that terrible, terrible time. This church, people in this church reached out to me, took care of me, blessed me, helped me, strengthened me, and God was there for me through the whole time. Next slide. You know, Romans 8:28 is really true. We know that in all things, when my daughter died, I couldn't imagine how could that possibly be any good in that. But believe me, many good things have happened in that. In my family, and I won't share those things because they're personal, and you know, for my children and stuff. But for me, a door of eternity opened in my life that is never, or a window of eternity that is never completely closed. And I live on this earth, but there's part of me that's in eternity, being with my daughter. And that helps me to reach out to other people with seriousness, compassion, and understanding that they're not going to be here forever, and neither am I. And it's helped me. All things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So trust him. He will restore you in his time. God always wins. And those who love him, those who trust in him, will win with him. I guarantee it. We always win with God. You know, I'll never forget the time that I watched a repeat of a perfect game in baseball. And I would get nervous, you know, when the ball was hit, there's no way it could get caught. But it's a perfect game. Nobody's going to get on base. And sure enough, somebody would catch it. Or they would strike somebody out when it was three balls and no strikes. And yet the person would come back and strike the person out. It was a perfect game. Well, God has a perfect game for his people. And even though we'll go through some hard times, and even though at times things may really seem unbearable, God will win. God wins. And you can be confident in that, and you can be assured of that, and I can be assured of that, and it can give us strength to go out and to reach others for Christ, because he wins. God deserves our trust. Okay, so that's the first thing that we need to do. We need to ascribe to God all of these things, that he is all good, that he's all powerful, that he has everything under control, that I can trust him. If we can ascribe all those things to God, we can trust God. And that will enable us to do this next thing, to start it. Worship. We had great worship this morning. I love the worship team here. Marcia is one of my favorite people in the whole world. When I taught math at Good Shepherd, I had no one to teach math. You know, math is kind of hard. You can't find always somebody. And she came along. I'll teach it. And she was such a good teacher. My daughter, the one that ended up dying, loved Marcia. And she taught her math so well that Jenny ended up becoming an internal auditor for Columbia University. And she was really good at what she did. And Marcia gave her that mathematical foundation. So I'm very happy with the worship team here. But worship is not just singing to God. It's so much more. It involves our whole being. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Bible. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how do we worship? How do we put this into effect? Well, this is where it gets hard. We are to become serious about the sin in our lives. We get rid of sin by first admitting we have a problem. There's always going to be some kind of sin that God's working on. And if you don't have anything that God's working on, then I think that maybe you're not paying attention. I get angry at my wife when I shouldn't. God's working on that. I sometimes don't love people, especially when they do things that I think are really dumb. And God's working on that. So that's just for me. For other people, it's drinking, it's lust, it's maybe gossiping. Who knows? All of us are different. But I guarantee you that God is working on something in your life. And if you want to grow, you have to be honest. You have to say, God, yes, Lord, I am a sinful person. I do bad things. But I know, Lord, that you don't want me to live this way. And you've given me the power by your Holy Spirit not to. And, you know, we can't just say, I'm human. What do you expect? You know, the world can say that. But we can't say that. We have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. And that Holy Spirit, one of his purposes is to enable you to live a life that you can defeat sin in your life. It's by his strength. You know, I love the saying of the devil came to the door and this older person said, I let Jesus answer it. And sometimes it's so simple. And that's how we overcome sin in our life. We admit it. And we ask God, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to defeat this sin. You know, when Peter walked on the water, he said, Lord, let me walk on the water. And Jesus said, come to me. And Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. But then when he looked down, and you know, he was a man of the sea, I can't walk on the water, you know, I can't do that. But you can. One of the things I've learned about my wife, when I see something that I don't like, what I am to do is to think about all the things that God doesn't like in me. And then I am to think about all the wonderful things that God has given me in her. So if I spend my time thinking about those two things, I tell you, there's very little time about thinking about that little tiny thing that she did that bothered me. So there's strategy involved, But it's the Spirit of God that gives you the ability to be successful and to do it. Okay, so we're to worship God by removing the sin in our lives, by honoring and loving him and serving others. You know, Lord, take the sin out of my life. Lord, you are so great, ascribing to him all the greatness that he has. Lord, help me to do your will in whatever it is. These are the things, if you want to grow, if you want to be a man of God or a woman of God, these are the things that you need to do. The result of doing these things, ascribing and worshiping, trusting and obeying, we will grow in our walk. I guarantee it. If you haven't grown in a while, start trusting and obeying. Our faith will become the most important part of our life. And when your faith is the most important part of your life, you won't struggle sharing with people about your faith. Just like if you go to a really good movie or you go out to a really good restaurant or you've had a really good time on a vacation or something, you have no problem sharing, or I have no problem sharing, this good time that I've had. Well, our faith, God wants it to be so strong in us and so vibrant that we just naturally share it because we're so excited about God and so in love with him. We will have more joy. We will love more. We will tell others about Jesus. We will have greater faith and hope. We will live out the good works God has planned for us. Each of you has good works. From the foundation of the world, God has decided that he wants you personally to do certain things that nobody else can do. And God will give you the ability to walk those things out. We will hear from our Lord at the end of this life, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we will live in glory with our King forever. Amen. Amen. All right. I'd like to end this morning by reading to you the words of an old hymn, "Trust and Obey," and commenting on them. Okay, I'm pressing the wrong thing. That's why, damn it. If I ran into trouble, they said, "Can you make go to the next slide, please?" Thank you. Okay, trust and obey, or ascribe and worship. Trust and obey is kind of the modern way, I think, of saying ascribe and worship. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, and that's so important. You know, we're not just walking in the Lord with our feelings. We're walking with the Lord according to his word. So you have to read it. We have to read it. And you should try to read it every day. Even if it's just 15 minutes every day, you'll be surprised at how much God will show you, and then you'll know how to walk. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. So that just sums up, you know, that all things work for good. Trust God. No matter what you're going through, he will use it to bless you and to bless those you love and to further his kingdom. We are never, the Bible says, you know, without victory. God always gives us the victory, no matter what. That's why, you know, when you read about the saints of old and some of them that were burnt at the stake and some of them that raised their hands as they were dying, you know, to the world, they had lost, but not to God. They saw something and they were blessed. But here's the hard part. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. We have to give God our all. If you don't, you will never experience the fullness of the Christian life that God has in store for you. You know, have it out with God the way that, you know, was it Jacob that had it out with God and wrestled him and then ended up being touched by God? You be honest with God and you tell him everything that you're upset with him about and everything, and then allow him to, just like with Job, now Job, let me speak. And he will. But you first have to be honest with him and bring everything to him and allow him to transform your heart and allow him to excite you again and allow him to make you realize that this life has purpose, that this life has meaning to it, and that you can be part of his incredible plan to reach the world for his son. Then, as the result of all of this, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. So, again, a very simple message. But I guarantee you that if you do these things, that your life will never be the same. So may God bless you. May God bless his reading of this word this morning. And may you, and may I, and may all of us be excited about God. May we trust him because he's worthy to be trusted. May we give him our all. May we lay every sin, every problem, every worry at his feet, and may we pick up the things that he would have us to do so that this church can be an instrument in his hands and that he can use it to reach the world for himself. Amen.